Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Behind me is Westminster Hall, where President Zelensky of the Ukraine is addressing the UK Parliament. He arrived half an hour ago. Now, I've been informed, I'm not sure if this is true, that he's going to address the House of Commons and the House of Lords separately. So I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be in there. So President Zelensky, he landed in the United Kingdom shortly after 10 o'clock this morning in a Royal Air Force plane, having flown from Poland, so crossing the border by land, so his plane couldn't be shot down by the Russian invaders. Anyway, so he landed at Stansted Airport and was driven to London, having been met by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak at Stansted Airport, which is over an hour's drive to the north of London. A bit surprised he didn't land at an RAF base. Anyway, so this is only his third country outside the Ukraine he's visited since Russia's illegal war of aggression began on the 24th of February last year. So it's been going on for very nearly a year now. Anyway, he'll be meeting some Ukrainian diplomats as well. He'll be driving to Buckingham Palace, which is only about a mile from here as the crow flies, to meet His Britannic Majesty, King Charles III, and perhaps other royal personages. So it's unclear when he's flying back to Poland or some other state adjacent to Ukraine, but that's probably tonight. Remember, he flew to Washington, D.C. to address both houses of Congress in joint session, which is a singular honor accorded to only very few other heads of state. And on his way home, he touched down in Poland again to meet President Andrzej Duda of Poland. Poland, obviously, has vociferously advocated for the cause of Ukrainian freedom because, remember, much of Poland was under Russian occupation for many centuries, and the Poles are wary of falling victim to Russia if Putin's war of aggression is to be crowned with victory this time. So, and presumably, he'll have a chance for obviously a one-on-one with Prime Minister Sunak. I'm not sure if he spoke to Rishi Sunak, was in the car with him on the way from Stansted Airport, and custom would dictate that he gets a chance to meet some of the opposition leaders, such as the leader of Her Majesty's Most Loyal Opposition, that's to say Sir Keir Starmer, leader of the Labour Party, perhaps the Westminster leader of the SNP, Ian Blackford, and indeed the leader of the Liberal Democrats, Sir Ed Davey. So here we are in the shadow of Big Ben, the clock tower, 96 meters tall, and 11 floors, and all the rest of it, 399 steps to go up. So we can see the time it is. Now, Prime Minister's question time is usually at 12 noon, and perhaps Rishi Sunak got a relatively easy ride of it because Labour was going to grill him over his cabinet reshuffle recently, him having to appoint a new chairman of the Conservative Party. The Conservative Unionist Party was without a chairman for 8 days. That's the longest interregnum they've ever had. Since Nadeem Zahawi was sacked for being dishonest about it being under investigation by Her Majesty's Revenue Customs. So this the arrival of President Zelensky is obviously an enormous honour for the United Kingdom, which has been second only to the United States in the amount of military aid it supplied, approaching £3 billion pounds worth. Moreover, there's yet another round of sanctions that have been introduced on Russia today. But the dispiriting thing from a Ukrainian perspective, how these have relatively little effect. Yes, they have hurt the Russian economy, but not that much. But this may be felt more and more. The Russians had stocks of various items they needed to import in 2022, run out of them now. There might be secondary sanctions. The Russians might find it more difficult to circumvent the sanctions by purchasing things through third countries, as in getting Kazakhstan to purchase whichever item it is, and then sell it on to Russia for only a slight markup. Whether import substitution from China is going to work, we'll see. They're purchasing Chinese vehicles, which are almost universally of an inferior quality, and there's no such thing as a free lunch with the Chinese. They'll drive a very hard bargain, even with their so-called unlimited partners, the Russian Federation. Remember, just before Putin launched his madcap venture, he said this was a partnership with no limits. The Chinese pointed that he did not say that. So, yes, he can sell oil and gas to China, India, Russia, and so on. These countries have abstained in the United Nations. They're not allies, they've abstained, but only at a significant discount. So the oil cap, price cap, appears to be working. Putin says he's not selling, going to send any oil and gas to any country operating the price cap. He's just announced that. He waited about 6 weeks before the price cap took effect before doing that. And again, that doesn't seem to have spooked the markets, does not seem to be working, especially as renewable energy is increasing apace. And also, we're coming out of winter now, Now, the Chinese economy has reopened. They've dropped that zero COVID policy. So there will be more of a demand for oil, gas, coal, and so forth in China. But that hasn't caused an uptick in oil and gas prices like Russia might have hoped. So anyway, no doubt he'll be cheered to the echo. He'll get a very warm reception. Jeremy Corbyn, the erstwhile leader of the Labour Party, is no longer even a member of the Labour Party. He's an independent socialist, member of parliament. Jeremy Corbyn is one of the very few who opposes allowing the Ukrainians to defend themselves and protect themselves from the numerous atrocities perpetrated by the Russian armed forces, and says there should be no arms shipments to Ukraine. This simply perpetuates the conflict. But I mean, then that obviously just means a massacre of civilians if they're unable to defend themselves. What happened to responsibility to protect under international law? Anyway, so we're not sure how long until President Zelensky emerges. Could be 10 minutes, could be an hour. So I'm going to think about your half an hour address to Parliament, and then a time to meet various politicians before driving to Buckingham Palace. And obviously there's a heavy police presence. There always is around this time, 12 noon, Prime Minister's question times every Wednesday. And I've always said, there you see from the perimeter of Parliament, that gate, if you look over here to the corner of Treasury, if I've got that right, that's only about 100 metres. And could they not build a tunnel so that they could just walk under the road without a need for a closing the road or a police escort? It would save a lot of police time and therefore money, and then just obviate the risk of assassination. Because the danger for the Prime Minister is the baddies know exactly where he's going to be, when he's going to be, what route he's going to be, so it allows them to reconnoitre, to plan and so on. So we want to keep him out of danger and indeed save police time. That is President Zelensky. Now, President Putin have been banking on Western will flagging, and so far there's little sign of it. Yes, Western solidarity is afraid of little. There was a demonstration in the Czech Republic some months ago saying, we want cheap oil and gas. Look at the Hungarians. They've got an opt-out, you know, they've got an exemption. They can purchase this Russian oil and gas, which the rest of the European Union is agreeing not to do. And why are we giving them money when we don't have enough money for ourselves? There's also corruption, so that's why Zelensky's had to really crack down on that, to dismiss his defense minister, Oleksiy Reznikov, because supposedly there were kickbacks, rations were purchased for way over the market price, because you know, the European Union is having to fund Ukraine. That's over $6 billion simply to sustain the war effort, paying essential salaries and so forth. And the European Union does not want this money to disappear in peculation, it being trousered by corrupt bureaucrats and politicians, and that happened all too often. So obviously Russia's very keen to disseminate that narrative, claim, oh, they're all thieves and charlatans and liars in the Ukrainian government. Drug addicts, remember that one? Putin hasn't said that again for some time, that they're drug addicts, or like the West is Satanist and so on. Obviously Putin's the one behaving in a satanic manner. There's this projection accusing others of those own worst crimes. Obviously he runs a mafia state, he presides over a kleptocracy, so nobody has presided over more defalcation than V.V. Putin. Right, thank you very much from Westminster, London. Goodbye.